WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our critic Maureen Corrigan has been reading a World War II anthology of women's stories, and in spite of everything that's changed for women between then and now, she finds these stories relevant for women and men today.
When the hardcover edition of Wave Me Goodbye was published last year, editor Ann Boston warned readers in her introduction that the stories were like relics from a lost civilization. The era of bombing raids, blackouts, and gas masks, she said, now seemed light years away. Well, a paperback edition of Wave Me Goodbye has just been published, and now it's Boston's introduction that seems dated, while the stories she's collected have become poignantly topical. These days, women can experience war firsthand, and men can experience the anxiety of being left behind. Oddly enough, I think these changes mean that a collection like Wave Me Goodbye will mean something to more people. These stories were originally addressed to women on the home front, but now all of us, women and men, who are watching the war, should discover some startling correspondences in these accounts of how an earlier wartime generation coped. Wish Me Luck As You Wave Me Goodbye is the full title of a jaunty World War II song, and Boston says it gives you an idea of the stoic role women were expected to play. A fond farewell to the menfolk, and then on with the battle on the home front. Boston combed through British and American magazines published between 1939 and 1949 to find stories that would flesh out and even contradict this official image. There are stories here by some of the finest women writers of the time: Olivia Manning, Elizabeth Bowen, Sylvia Townsend Warner, and Jan Struther, who wrote the Mrs. Miniver series. Some stories, like Molly Panter Downs's Goodbye, My Love, record the awful dread of impending separation. A young wife named Ruth tries to freeze the minutes in the 2 days before her soldier husband leaves. But Downs writes that the one clock in their flat went on sucking time like an endless string of macaroni into its bright, vacant face. Other writers deal with an ugly truth about war. That is, as long as you're safe and no one you know is doing the fighting, war can sometimes even be exciting. Marjorie Sharp's comic story, Night Engagement, describes how a young woman named Doris takes advantage of the London Blitz to meet marriageable men in bomb shelters. And in Edna Ferber's story, Grandma Isn't Playing, the heroine Anna changes from a listless old woman to a Rosie the Riveter, glowing with her new purpose in life. But leave it to acid-tongued, brave Dorothy Parker to reveal one of the nastiest wartime secrets: that sometimes there's an envy of those people who get to escape the ordinary routine into the intensity of the battlefield. In Parker's The Lovely Leave, a wife named Mimi shouts at her pilot husband, "You have a whole new life. I have half an old one." Maybe the profoundest insight in this collection comes from Elizabeth Bowen. She said, "All wartime writing is resistance writing," meaning it's a way for the interior life to put up resistance to the annihilating effects of war. As TV numbs us with images of this new war, literature gives us a way to fight back.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Wave Me Goodbye, edited by Ann Boston.